Okay, so we decided that even though it's very close to Pesach, we're going to try to give another shiur on Sefer Melachim so that we can try to finish Melachim Bet Erev Pesach in the morning, and for those of us who are firstborns, you can actually get something to eat. It's a nice thing, and I do feel a little bit rushed to try to get through, but sometimes that rushed feeling is very good. We were speaking about Melachim Beis Perkhof Gimel. We were speaking about King Yoshiyahu. Basically, King Yoshiyahu was awesome, amazing, and great. The only thing is that King Yoshiyahu meets his end because Paro Necho, the king of Egypt, decides to attack Assyria, and Yoshiyahu goes to war against him. Let's read this inside, because this will lead into our conversation tonight. Our conversation tonight is the end of Malchus Yehuda. Malchus Yehuda ends. Korban Beis HaMikdash comes about in quick succession. We are going to have four kings that we'll talk about tonight. Yehoahaz, Yehoyakim, Yehoyachin, and Sidkiyahu. In quick succession, as the song goes, he was worse than Louis the First. But the fact is, none of these kings were any good, at least the way the Navi describes it, although in Chazal, we do have a slightly more positive image of some of them. So, let's begin. Yoshiyahu, right? Yoshiyahu, who we spoke about last week, who's actually the last high note for Malchus Yehuda. So, in his days, Biyamav, Allah Paro Necho Melech Mitzrayim, Melech Hashar Nahar Pirat, Vayelech HaMelech Yoshiyahu Likrato, Vayimitel B'mgido Kiroto Oto. Right? The story goes that Paro Necho is going to attack Assyria, and Yoshiyahu says, I don't want you to come through. Now, effectively, Chazal are critical of Yoshiyahu over here, that he should have consulted with the Navi Yirmiyahu. You see, Yoshiyahu had a cheshbon. His cheshbon is that the Torah says, Cherev lo savor ba'aretzachem, that if we do the mitzvahs of Hashem, so swords will not pass through our land. And Yoshiyahu said, what does that pasuk mean? It can't mean that there will be no war, because the Torah says in the next pasuk, v'nasati shalom ba'aretz, that there's going to be peace. So obviously, cherev lo savor ba'aretzachem means, even if it is someone just coming through our land to attack someone else, that's a curse. And Yoshiyahu says, you know what, my generation is really religious. And my generation that's so religious, how could it be that the klala in the Torah, that the sword shouldn't come through your land, how could that come in my generation? And therefore Yoshiyahu says, I'm going to stand up to them. He should have consulted with Yirmiyahu. Because Yirmiyahu would have told him, Yoshiyahu, you're not seeing correctly. Yes, you're religious. Yes, the people outwardly are religious, but like what we mentioned last week, and we say in the Kinos and Tisha B'Av, they have little getchkas behind their doors, no? Half a getchka is an untranslatable word, right? But it means like icon or something. Yeah, I had one half on this door, one half on that door, you close the doors, right? So it didn't seem to the outside like they're over there, Avodah Zarah, but inside they actually were. And for that reason, the Pasuk says that for that reason, Chazal understand the Pasuk, that this is why Yoshiyahu is killed in Megiddo. The Pesukim in Divrei HaYomim mentioned that Yoshiyahu is killed by Yoru Hachitzim Bamelech Yoshiyahu, that they shot arrows at him. Chazal say 300 arrows were shot at Yoshiyahu. He was pierced like a sieve. That's what the Pesukim say. The servants take him dead from Megiddo. They bring it to Yerushalayim. They bury him in his grave. Vayikach am ha'ares et Yehoahaz ben Yoshiyahu vayimshachu also vayamlichu also tachas aviv. This is the key word that Alex Israel plays on, that Yehoahaz, who succeeds Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu is a righteous man, right? Yoshiyahu is a wonderful king. Yehoahaz, who takes over, is appointed by Am Ha'aretz. Now, what is Am Ha'aretz?
Layman.
Ordinary people, no?
Layman.
As opposed to the elite. No? Yehoahaz is appointed, as a populist king. Now, there is...
Not my king.
Right. Now, there is, throughout Sefer Yirmiyahu,
Yirmiyahu, who's the Navi of the Churban, who's the Navi at this time, Yirmiyahu basically warns people, you know what, Jews? There are powers in the world. Be nice. Don't start up with the powers in the world. Don't start up with Bavel. Don't start up with Mitzrayim. Be nice, be nice, be nice. Well, the Am Ha'aretz have a different perspective than the elite sometimes. Right? The elite, the Nevi'im, are saying, be nice. The Am Ha'aretz are saying, you get it, man. You go. Oh, yeah. Right? The pep talk. And you know what happened? Yeho Achaz, and this is a comment that the Radak has on these psukim, Yeho Achaz felt, you know what, my father, righteous King Yoshiyahu, was killed by Mitzrayim. I'm going to get back at them Egyptians. I'm going to fight against the Mitzrayim. And Yeho Achaz basically he decides to be mean to Mitzrayim, and we'll see what happens as we go through the psukim very quickly. Yeho Achaz, just keep track of this. Yeho Achaz is 23 years old when he becomes king, and he's king for 3 months. His mother is Chamutal. He's bad. Paro, Necho, puts him in bands. He puts him in jail in Rivla, right, so that he should not be king Yerushalayim, and he punishes the country, and he puts this heavy tax on the country. Mea kikar kesef v'kikar zahav. And Paro Necho then takes Eliakim ben Yoshiyahu instead of Yoshiyahu the father, and he makes his name Yehoyakim, and Yehoachaz he takes and brings him to Mitzrayim, where he dies there. Effectively, if we read between the lines a little bit, Paro says, I don't want this Yehoachaz to be king anymore. 3 months into his reign, takes Yehoachaz, deposes him, and appoints his brother to be the king. His brother is called Eliakim, no? But Paro changes his name to Yehoyakim. Now, what is going on here? So apparently what's going on is that Yehoachaz is not loyal to Egypt. So Egypt decides, right, why is he not loyal? Because daddy was killed by Egypt. Egypt decides, well, we're going to impose heavy taxes. We'll impose heavy taxes on you. Okay, but he's still not loyal enough. So Paro says, you're not king anymore. Sorry, Eliakim, the brother, who I will call Yehoyakim, is king. Now, this shows us just how weak Judea is. Your king is appointed by a foreign country. Your king gets a name by a foreign power. Your king's name is given to be a very good name. Yehoyakim means God established, but it's not really God who established you as king. It's really Paro who made you king. No?
They're eating our lunch.
They're eating our lunch. Right? This ain't too good. Now, let's just go on about this king Yehoyakim. Right? So Paro appoints Yehoyakim, and Yehoyakim pays the tribute, pays the taxes to Paro. That's Pasuk Lamed Hey. Kesef Azov Nosen Yehoyakim to Paro, Ach Ha'erech Esa'aretz, Laseses HaKesef Alpi Paro, Ish Ke'erko, Nagas Et HaKesef Esa'azov Es Am Ha'aretz Laseses Paro Necho. There's a word, Am Ha'aretz, again. Let's read this Pasuk carefully. Basically, there's an assessment to give silver and gold. Usually, when you give silver and gold, who pays the burden of taxes? If there's a heavy assessment of silver and gold, who pays it?
Treasury.
The treasury. Correct. That's usually what happens. But what does Yehoyakim do? He basically assesses ish ke'erko. He assesses each person has to pay a portion of it, no? The Am Ha'aretz are going to pay. Now, this is Pau. Right? Remember, the Am Ha'aretz appointed Yehoachaz, the brother, as king. Yehoyakim, who's now king, says, okay, Am Ha'aretz, you didn't appoint me, right? I'm going to hit you with a tax burden that rightfully should go to the treasury. Right? So, Yehoyakim is hitting back at the Am Ha'aretz. Now, why is Yehoyakim so upset with these Am Ha'aretz? So I think if you read the next pasuk, right, we could understand it. How old is Yehoyakim when he becomes king? 25. How old was Yehoachaz when he became king? 23.
How long was Jehoahaz king for?
3 months.
So who's older? Huh? Yehoiakim is older. Now, if you are pushed aside in favor of your younger brother to be king, you ain't so happy with those people who push you aside, no?
Sibling rivalry is probably real. I'm just guessing.
It's just
right? So that's what's going on.
So Yehoiakim is making the Am HaAretz, the same Chevra who,
right, passed over him, to use a Pesach pun, right,
who passed over him in favor of his kid brother, thinking that the kid brother is going to rebel against Mitzrayim, which in fact he did, but then Mitzrayim puts the foot down, and Yehoiakim hits him back. End of conversation. Yehoiakim is not a good king. He does all that's bad in the eyes of God, Pasuk Lamed Vav, etc. Now, at this point in the world, there is a new power that's developing. And that power is called Bavel, in the form of Nebuchadnezzar. If you go to the Met, you could still see the gates of Bavel, where Nebuchadnezzar wrote on it something to the effect of, "I am the ruler of God." Right? The man had quite the ego.
Okay, that's Nebuchadnezzar. Biyamav, in the days of Jehoiakim, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bavel, comes up. He comes to Eretz Yisrael, and Jehoiakim is a slave to him for 3 years, by Yashav, by Yimrod Bo. And he goes back and he rebels against him. Now, Jehoiakim, remember, is loyal to Mitzrayim. Nebuchadnezzar comes. Vayashav Vayimrod Bo means he goes back and he revolts against Nebuchadnezzar a second time. The Radak understands this pasuk that really Jehoiakim first revolted against Nebuchadnezzar one time. Nebuchadnezzar comes up. There's a new power in the world, Babel. Right? Jehoiakim doesn't want to play with them. So first he revolts. He becomes a slave for 3 years. After he was a slave for 3 years, so they let him back, and he revolts a second time. Vayashav Vayimrod Bo. So then, they send all of these other nations against Jehoiakim. Kastim, Aram, Moav, Ammon, to go and destroy Yehuda, like God spoke to the Nevi'im. Because of the sins of Menashe, that's Pasuk Gimel, that's why it has to be destroyed. And also, Pasuk Dalet, V'gam dam ha-naki asher shafak v'imaleyat Yerushalayim dam naki v'lo ava Hashem l'slovach. Right? It's going to be destroyed now. This is the foreboding of the Chorban. Because of the dam naki that was spread. The Rambam writes in the Mor Nebuchim that the one sin for which Hashem is least forgiving is the sin of murder. Murder, right? Right. We mentioned that Menashe, we read the Psukim 2 weeks ago, that Menashe violated all three of the cardinal sins in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Which takes talent, by the way. It's almost like you're doing some Avira contest in Yeshiva, you know, Shana Aleph. By Shana Bet, you'd never do this. But, right, whatever. Now, Menashe, right, murdered. The rabbi might say, murder? That's the sin that God will not forgive. And that's really exactly what this pasuk is saying. Right? V'lo ava Hashem v'slomach. So then Jehoiakim, all the other stuff that he did, it's written in Divrei Hayamim, he dies. Jehoiachin, his son, becomes king. And v'lo hosif o melech mitzrayim latzeit me'atzo, ki lakach melech bavel menacha mitzrayim ad nahar perat, kol asher hayta lemelech mitzrayim. This one pasuk basically gives us a huge historic event, which is the shifting of world powers in approximately the year 598 before the Common Era. 586 is the Chorban Habayis, no? In approximately 598 is when Mitzrayim loses to Bavel. And that is what this pasuk says. Mitzrayim never left their country again. Now, we have a tradition, the Gemara Yevamah says, that Sancheirev, who lost to Chizkiyahu back in Parak Yud Ches, Sancheirev, when he was controlling the world, he had a plan of population resettlement, that he'd move people from one area to another area, but Sancheirev, Bilbel is called Ha'umos. Sancheirev mixed up all the nations. That's why Bisman has said there's no mitzvah to destroy Amalek, because we don't know who Amalek is. No? We don't know who they are. But the Gemara says that from this pasuk, though, we see that even though Sancheirev mixed up all the nations, there's one nation that was not mixed, and that's Mitzrayim. Right? Is that what's clear in this pasuk? That Mitzrayim was unable to leave his country. What do you mean his country? It's not his country. If Sancheirev moved him around, the answer is Sancheirev did not move Mitzrayim around. Now, whether there are halachic implications of this or not, in terms of the prohibition to marry a Mitzri, right? And the prohibition to antagonize a Mitzri, right? You could say it in the positive or the negative, or. But the fact is, the Gemara seems to say that Mitzrayim was not mixed up. Now, Yehoyachin, who's the son of Yehoyakim, is 8 years old and he becomes the king. He rules only for 3 months. He also does bad. At that time, Nebuchadnezzar comes up to Yerushalayim and he puts the city in siege. Now, Pasuk Yud says that the Avdei Nebuchadnezzar come up to Yerushalayim. Pasuk Yud Allah says Nebuchadnezzar himself comes up. Right? There are like two stages. First, Nebuchadnezzar has his servants do it. Then he himself comes up to Yerushalayim. They take Yehoyachin, the king, he, his mother, his servants, etc. And in year 8 of his reign, they take him away, and they take away all of the treasuries, and they cut all of the golden vessels that Shlomo made, and they put him into Galus. This is called Galus Yehoyachin, or Galus Yechonia, which we read about at the beginning of Megillas Esther. Asher hagla mirushalayim im hagola asher haglasayim Yechonia melech Yehuda. Yechonia is Yehoyachin.
How could they use the vessels? They were broken.
So, apparently, you get the impression that they broke the royal vessels of Shlomo, but the vessels from the Beis HaMikdash they just took. Right? They destroyed, right? The special ones, Shlomo apparently made his own things, but those that were in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Those they take. And they vehiglais kol Yerushalayim as kol hasarim as kol gibor hachayil aseres alofim gola v'chol hecharash v'hamasker lo nishar zulas dalas am ha'aretz. The only people who remain are the poor people. Yeah. Everybody else is exiled. Now this is really very funny when you think about it. They exiled all the strong people. Usually, if you're being exiled, that seems to indicate that you're not particularly strong. No? V'higlas ko Yerushalayim, that's called Gibore Hachayil. All of the strong warriors. If I'm a strong warrior, how come I'm being exiled? So Chazal have a tradition that Galus Yechonia was actually a bracha. It was a bracha because it allowed for the reestablishment of Torah outside of Eretz Yisrael. Remember, Kozman is a Beis HaMikdash. You have Sanhedrin in the Lishkas HaGozis, in the Beis HaMikdash itself. Now Beis HaMikdash is about to be destroyed. Torah also may have been severely hurt or destroyed, Chas V'Shalom. To prevent that, 11 years before Korban Bayis, we have Galus Yechonia, where the Gibore Chayil go. Gibore Chayil is understood by Chazal to mean the Torah warriors. Choresh and Masker means the Torah warriors. Choresh means that I can say a Torah thought, and it shuts everybody up automatically. Right? Brilliant. Best idea ever. That's Choresh. Masker is the same type of idea, like locks people in. This Galus enabled Torah to thrive in Babel. The sad thing of the return to Tzion is that the Talmidei Chachamim didn't come back. The Am Ha'aretz, the Dalas Amei Ha'aretz, same word, by the way, Am Ha'aretz, that we had beforehand, no? The Am Ha'aretz feels more of a connection to Eretz Yisrael than the Talmidei Chachamim. Sometimes you know too much,
And you have, you know, it's basic. Gemara says that after Korban Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo zadal la'amos of halacha, and why do I need it? Why do I need Eretz Yisrael? Sometimes you have, like, the Pasha to Yid, the Am Ha'aretz, pardon, and he gets it right. He has the feeling, and by the way, I think that the reason why Rav Kook believed so much, everyone was saying, like, who are these people? They're coming up and they're moving to Eretz Yisrael and they're not religious and blah, blah, blah. And Rav Kook is basically says, no, you have to respect them. They feel a connection to Eretz Yisrael. That's what Tanakh is saying. The Am Ha'aretz, the poor people, they're the ones, right? Remember, the Mishnah in the fourth parak of Kedushin, Asari Yuchsin Alum Mibavel, right? These are the Mamzerim and the Avodim Meshuchrarim, etc., etc., etc. All of the lowest castes of society, they felt more of a connection to Eretz Yisrael. By the way, right, if we just use economic terms, we realize that the last Golos is also the most affluent Golos, and that's right here in this country. No? The last large group of Jews outside of Eretz Yisrael are the most
recent.
Right now is the United States of America.
Yeah.
And we're the most affluent. The poor Jews have already gone to Eretz Yisrael largely. The Jews who suffered have gone. Right? We can do it. Again, and I'm speaking to myself, because, you know, we should. I have to admit, every year, at the end of the Seder, my father, when we say, L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim, my father's like, why are we not there already? And it's an unanswerable question on a certain level. Seriously, if we really believe in it, if we really daven with kavana, so like, why are we still here? But I know all the heterim, I know all the terutim. I teach Torah, so it's more different for me to be in America. But come on, why am I here? You don't think I could get a job in Israel? Probably not. Well, I understand. And there's 9 bazillion people who do exactly what I do. I got that. But with all the excuses, right? I think Tanakh really speaks to us. Tanakh is very powerful. So Yehoyachin goes to Bavel, his mother, his wives, his officers, all the strong people go to Bavel. There are soldiers, 7,000, Charesh HaMasker, 1,000 of them. Charesh HaMasker, he said, means either Talmid HaChacham or craftsman, whatever. The king of Bavel brings them to Bavel, and then he appoints his own king, Matanya, who is the uncle of Yehoyachin, and he names him Tzidkiyahu. Once again, to show how weak, feeble the state of Judea is, your king is being appointed by a foreign power. Now it's the king of Bavel, not the king of Mitzrayim. And we're going to change his name. Now, this new king is Matanya, who becomes Tzidkiyahu. Tzidkiyahu is the uncle of Yehoyachin. If you're keeping score at home, that means an uncle means a brother of your father, right? Correct?
Yeah.
So Yehoyachin's father is Yehoyakim. His brother is Tzidkiyahu. That means that Yehoahaz and Yehoyakim and Tzidkiyahu are all brothers, and they are all sons of Yoshiyahu. Right? 3 of the 4 last kings of Yehuda are brothers. Now, Tzidkiyahu is a complicated character. The man's got an awesome name. Tzidkiyahu. Right? God's righteous one. But we read the psukim about Tzidkiyahu. He's 21 years old when he becomes king. He rules for 11 years. His mother is Chamutal. He's bad. He does everything that Yehoyakim did. Ki al af Hashem haysav Yerushalayim v'Yehuda atish lichosa me'al panav v'yimrod Tzidkiyahu b'melach Bavel. Tzidkiyahu did bear that he rebelled against Bavel. Now, the Navi is saying that Tzidkiyahu's Avera was rebelling against Bavel. Meaning, Like we said a few minutes ago, Yirmiyahu HaNavi always tells the Jewish people, be good to the powers that be nice, don't make waves, don't start up. Tzidkiyahu, don't go for any of that. Why not? Probably because similar to what we had about Yoshiyahu, Tzidkiyahu, according to Chazal, was extremely righteous personally. His generation was not so righteous, but he was righteous. And he said, Ich bin a tzaddik, Tzidkiyahu, what could be bad? And he rebelled. And you know what? He didn't listen to the Navi, and that led to the Churban. And the Churban comes about year 9 of his rule, the 10th month, the 10th day of the month. So Nebuchadnezzar comes, 10th day, 10th of the month is the month of Teves, Asar B'Teves. He comes, he camps on the city, and he builds Dayek. Dayek are tall, like fortresses against the city, which is a way of attacking a walled city. You build a tall... What's it called?
Bulwark?
Something like that, okay. Again, the English over here uses a different way. Forts. I don't think it means forts. Because a fort doesn't really help attack a wall. A walled city, no? A fort is... I don't know. So now, then they come into the city and there's a siege until the 12th year. The 9th day of the month. So the famine is terrible. They have nothing to eat. Again, the Am Ha'aretz have nothing to eat. That seems to be the recurrent theme. And then the walls of the city are breached. And the Chan Shem Melchama Ha'layla Derech Sha'ar Beis HaChomosam Shagan HaMel Chasim Ala Ir Saviv Vayilat Derech Arava. And the people escape at night. The walls are breached. The people escape. The armies of Kastim pursue the king, and they capture him by Arvot Yericho, and his soldiers run away on their own. They capture the king, they bring the king of Bavel, and they speak harshly to him, speak judgment to him. They kill his sons, they blind the king, they tie him in chains, and they bring him to Bavel. Now, there is a degree of Tzidkiyahu. It's almost like cowardice. When your city is attacked, the king is not supposed to try to run away. The king is supposed to stay and fight. But he doesn't. There is a degree, again, at least according to Peshuto Shemikra, of weakness in Tzidkiyahu. Chazal say that Tzidkiyahu had like a certain tunnel that he dug from his home in Yerushalayim all the way to Yericho. And he would have been able to get out, but there was some miracle that a deer goes running along the way as he's running through, and everyone sees, why is this deer running? They chase after the deer, and they see that the king comes up next to the deer, and they capture the king that way. That's the story in the Yalkut Shimoni and other Midrashim. I don't know what any of this means, but the fact is Tzidkiyahu tries to run away. Month 5, the 7th day of the month, the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzradan Rav HaTabachim, a servant to the king of Bavel, comes to Yerushalayim. Now, Rav HaTabachim is an interesting term. What does the word tabach mean?
Slaughterer.
Alternatively, it means chef. Potiphar Sris Paro, right? Sar HaTabachim, no? Tabach could be a chef. Now, Nebuzradan in our tradition is the chief slaughterer. That, by the way, is not a great term to go by. You don't want to be known as a chief slaughterer. Okay. He goes, they burn the Beis HaMikdash. They burn the king's house. They burn all the homes in Yerushalayim. The Eskol Bayis Gadol Saraf Be'esh. They burn every great home. The Gemara Megillah discusses, what does it mean, the great home? And there are two explanations in the Gemara Megillah. One explanation is Bayis HaMegadlim Bo Tefillah. The other explanation is Bayis HaMegadlim Bo Torah. And the Gemara uses this in the context of what has higher Kedusha, Beis Knesses or Beis Medrash, no? We pass in that Beis Medrash has more Kedusha than Beis Knesses. I have to admit, when we redid the downstairs, this room that we are in now, I call the Torah Tefillah Center, it's not a Beis Medrash. I made sure to be pulled to the Kedusha, because a Beis Medrash is, there's a lot of Kedusha in it. And I also wanted to be able to rent out the space for parties and stuff like that. So we don't have, that's why it's called TTC technically. It's not, doesn't have Kedusha space medrash. Okay, but that's the Bayis Gadol. The walls of Yerushalayim are broken through. The people go into exile. The poor people remain behind
to be in charge of the vineyards and to be in charge of the animals. And then the psukim, it's like so sad. You read about all the things that are taken out of the Beis HaMikdash. The pillars of copper. The special like machines that Shlomo HaMelech made. They break them. They carry the copper to Yerushalayim. The pots, the shovels, snuffers. What are snuffers? I have no idea. Pans.
Oh,
they put out fire. Okay. The pans, the copper kalim. They take everything. It's such a sad ending, right? And the ending of the Sefer, really, again, we'll talk about the real end on Monday morning, God willing. But this part of the end, the Golos, goes back, and it's really describing the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash in the sense of all the items that were taken from it. And you get the sense that the Navi is almost mourning not only for the loss of Yerushalayim, the loss of everything, but for every element of it. Every vessel in the Mikdash itself gets mentioned individually because there's additional mourning for all of the beauty, for all of the splendor that was lost. They take it to Bavel, etc. This is the people who stay behind have a governor, and that governor is named Gedaliah, and God willing, on Monday morning, we'll just talk about these psukim from Pasuk Chaf Beis and on, but this is the end. The end of the story in Sefer Melachim is the destruction, largely because of sins of Menashe, because of murder that we saw, but also because even Malchus Yehuda can't get its act straight. At the very end, Yirmiyahu HaNavi keeps on saying time and time again, be nice to the authorities, listen to me, and the people don't get their act straight. Now, unlike Malchus Yisrael, that is entirely wicked, Malchus Yehuda has some redeeming features, but precisely because of those redeeming features, something that we saw with King Yoshiyahu a bit, and with King Tzidkiyahu, precisely because they are upstanding as individuals, that's why they feel that they don't want to listen to the Navi. And that's what ultimately led to the end of Malchus Yehuda. I find this very interesting. Again, I'm not sure what to do with it. Obviously, there's so many ways to go. We'll just leave it at what it says. Okay, thank you for listening, and God willing, Monday morning we'll have our Siyum. Yes, it has been approved that we will have beer at the Siyum.
Thank you.
Beer chametz. Okay.